The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Hey, Can't Get Right listeners, Kurt Metzger here. The Can't Get Right podcast is one of the many podcasts here on the Gas Digital Network. Gas Digital has a massive on-demand library of thousands of hours of your favorite podcasts and shows, all in full HD, ad-free, and uncensored. As a Gas Digital Network member, you get unique user profile, access to the new live chat during a show's premiere, and all the newest full-length episodes of your favorite Gas Digital shows days before they become available to the public. So sign up to gasdigitalnetwork.com, use promo code Kurt, K-U-R-T, and get a 7-day free trial on us and see if you like it. And if you decide to stay after the 7 days, you'll get an additional $150 off your membership every month. That's gasdigitalnetwork.com, promo code Kurt, K-U-R-T. Get a 7-day free trial. And by the way, Gas Digital is not this is an actual business with customers that want it. It's not some private equity investment. Most podcast channels are. That's why they got like all kinds of horseshit on them. So gasdigitalnetwork.com, promo code Kurt, and get a 7-day free trial. All right, let's start the show.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Yeah, I know. Because I can't get right. This is cutthroat. This burns as words pop from a snub nose. This Kurt Metzger and not give a fuck mode. Because I can't get right. I can't get right. Yeah. You're listening to Can't Get Right.
Hey, this is Can't Get Right with me, Kurt Metzger. I haven't been here for a while. Listeners of Can't Get Right will know. Last one was Sam Morrell. Then I was going for a few weeks, is on the road, and I had COVID-19. Okay. It's not just that I wasn't doing a podcast. And also, this isn't a good podcast, but I know a lot of people, a lot of people are writing in, like, when the hell are you going to come back and do a podcast? I assume, I don't read your messages, but I assume Mike was flooded with it, so I apologize. And I'm going to start changing how we do this. I'm going to get a live studio out here, because it's, like, way more fun. So this is probably the last one where I'm on Zoom. So I made an extra special, because I got my buddy Aunt Camilla, and then I just met this dude, Dick Masterson. Do you go by your real name, Dick, or do you go by Dick Masterson?
No, please. I say way too much crazy shit to go by a real name. Thank you. Well,
that was my mistake.
You messed up, Anthony.
Whatever. I Ryan Long, I shit you not, when we went to your house, when he brought me over there, we're coming out of the car, and I was like, I go, what's his real name? He goes, that is his real name. He got like stressed. I'm like, I don't think it's Dick Masterson. Do you? Yes, he did.
It's one of the coolest names ever.
Wait, what's the book you wrote?
It's called Men Are Better Than Women. People mess up the title. Some people say it's Why Men Are Better Than Women, but the title is Men Are Better Than Women. It's not a question. It's not a self-help book.
Yeah, you're not explaining
it.
Right. It's just like, the way it is.
I'm just telling you what science is.
Yeah, and I mean, really, it's just a surface. You know, I intended it to be a 100-volume encyclopedia, but I got cut off on the first one.
Not why the sky is blue. The sky's blue.
The sky's blue. Yeah. Just look.
I don't need to know why.
Once you master seeing basic reality, we'll move on to the whys of it. This is just the is of it.
So why? Then, who cares?
Go ahead. About the thing. So then you went Dr. Phil, right?
Yeah.
He's like
with
Dick Masterson.
Yeah. That was like when TV was, I think, like dying to the internet. That was like when I went on there, that was like, oh no, the plebs, the rabble is starting to shake our media foundation a little bit. Who let this asshole on our show?
Yeah. Well, do you remember the bum fights guys went on Dr. Phil?
Yeah.
And the dude, I thought the guys made bum fights. I was like, they should have made bum fights when it came out years ago. But and Jay was like grossed out by a big Jay. And then he made me watch it. It's pretty funny. He dressed up exactly like Dr. Phil.
So yeah, Dr. Phil's hilarious. Yeah.
And then I think it's funny that like These two great, a lot of great gags. And the one that blows up is just Bad Barbie. Just Danielle Bergoli. Oh,
she's making millions on OnlyFans. And I'm like, I did this. Where's my millions on OnlyFans? What yeah. This is not fair.
Yeah.
Just see, goes to show you. Yeah. You don't know what'll hit and what won't. Like that, I just thought was another one of these. We'd been watching, you know, I do what I want kind of shit for years. And then she literally comes out saying, I'll do what I want. And she is a multimillionaire with all kinds of fashion lines. And she was 13 at the time. It was crazy.
Yep. Nah. That's you and your book in parentheses, Dick. You're like, men are better than women. But don't worry, bitches. For some reason, you'll do better than men making real content. You just fucking show up and you're confident.
We got to take our credit cards back. That's why. It's because women are making all the spending choices. That's why we got fat ladies and soap ads and pumpkin spice beer. We got to, gentlemen, we've got to take our credit cards back from these.
I like that Dick thinks I have credit. I have to give them their credit cards back, Dick. For 20 years, I ain't been paying. No. So, okay. So on my YouTube feed, Ant video, like videos will come up. Like sometimes it'll be like old ones of like yeah. O&A. And then the thing popped up. I don't really fully understand the full Stuttering John story, but I was just watching you.
Yeah.
I don't know if you had to rebut to Stuttering John for whatever this is about, but I laughed so hard because I'm like, you're already like about 5 minutes too long for Stuttering John to know. He's already checked out, dude, while you're trying to explain the case. Like, I texted you. I couldn't believe years ago on 92.3 K-Rock.
Yeah.
I'm in a cab, and he got the show after, and right after Howard, right? And he opens up the show. As it calls in, it's some guy's a social worker. And Stuttering John's like, oh yeah, you're a social worker? Okay, maybe you could help me? Because I was in a cab. On the way here today, and some Arab cab driver goes, I farted really bad, you know, and not loud, really bad, but like he could smell it. I knew he could smell it, but I didn't say anything. I'm like, he goes, can you help with that?
What the fuck?
Okay. So I'm listening to this. Now, I'm probably leaving the little bits out, but it wasn't much more than that what he said.
Right.
But
I can understand that.
Immediately is one, his bit in his mind is like, oh, a social worker, that's basically a psychiatrist.
Right.
Okay. He thinks a social worker. He's like, oh, you tell him your problems, like one of them people on the couches.
Yeah.
And then he also thinks that's the kind of problem you would take to a psychiatrist, that you farted in a cab in front of an Arab.
Yeah.
This is like the beautiful croissant of stupid, like flaky stupid. But what did he actually do? He was telling people to send him in money for his friend, but you don't know who it is.
And then over the course of the years, he's just been like, he's a guy that can definitely dish it out and not take it. And Artie Lang, that proved it. When Artie was on my show, it was the Artie and Anthony show for 10 minutes. Artie, you know, was going through his issues at the time. But John would come on and, you know, Artie loves busting balls.
Yeah.
And we're all part of the same group. We bust balls. It's funny. It's whatever it is. John would, like, you could say, Artie'd say something like, John, would you get the shirt out of the hamper? Why don't you do your fucking wash? And John would explode and go, you try to kill yourself with bleach and stabbing yourself, and your mother is fucking whore, and your father died, and you fuck. And you're like, dude, chill. What the fuck is wrong with you?
What is this, the roast battle in the belly room of the Comedy Store?
Yeah. That's sociopath. And
he's, you know, he's a dumb dude.
Like, he is not a smart guy. He's so stupid. I said it so many times. If this was a character someone was playing, it would be the most brilliant character. If John would go, oh, I hate having to play Stuttering John because he's such an idiot, but it's my bread and butter. I go out and people go, hey, Stuttering John. I'm like, no, I'm John Melendez. I'm not that idiot. But it isn't. He is that idiot.
He's so fucking
stupid. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, before he got his identity was like probably just stuttering, like, you know, John Melendez when he came in. He's like, now, like when I had a friend back in college, who I think is doing okay now, but, you know, one guy who starts drinking and this dude, Crazy John. As lightly as a nickname, like, hey, Crazy John, and he really ran with it. And then he started really being performatively crazy at the
right.
You know, when like 20, like kids, like, all right, look, Crazy John,
Crazy John.
I know you're in there and you can hear any, anyway.
Yeah, he's nuts. Like
yeah.
He tried to do this charity thing. That's what we really been ragging him about. And it's hilarious. Like, he doesn't make much money doing his podcast. You know, regardless, I understand it's not an easy thing to do and actually capitalize on it.
Horribly. I'm terrible at it. So I wouldn't fault him.
It's not an easy thing to do. So he's trying anything he can to make money. Again, no problem there. But he said that in his, you know, vernacular, he's like, there is a beloved chatter that chats in our room who has a beloved loved one that has cancer. So what we need to do is raise money for this beloved chatter's beloved. So I am going to put up my Patreon and my PayPal and everything. Donate money to that, and I'll make sure it gets to them.
Oh, no.
Yes, yes, he did. No. There was no indication.
He doesn't have the logistical aptitude to see that through, even
That's
if he
exactly.
means it.
And
well
it became
said, Masterson, better than any woman
like,
could have.
Yeah. It was just like, dude, you first of all, you're lying. I know you're pocketing this money. Second of all, why not make a PayPal to go? They want to remain unknown.
Anthony, so two things. As well, that's a beautiful Stuttering John impression. One, I'm going to take the opposite. If I had body language expert Scott Rouse here to really judge watching the video, we could get him and play it. I think that he had every intention. I think that the story is true. Okay, this is just like a wild guess.
Okay,
and he would have every intention. But if it is true, that's even more why you should not give the money to John, because. You know, it's like Jack and the Beanstalk. Like his mom sends him out, and John's right. gonna buy magic beans when he comes back.
Magic John, beans will cure your cancer. I knew it. Magic beans.
That's the he's the mind that trades the cow for magic beans, and he intended to do it. And that whoever yes. it is would never even survive. That vital chemo money would never get to them.
Also, imagine that. He's just walking down the sidewalk with a handful of the money that he made, and someone just comes up and goes, with this very elixir, we can cure whatever ails you. Literally a cart and a horse. And
I can give that to my friend.
Yeah. Anyone can get chemo. I got magic beans.
Well, listening to you do that stutter, the other thing I realize is, holy shit, do you hear how ridiculous the story that Joe Biden just has a stutter is when you
oh, I know.
About
yes.
No.
He, yeah, first of all,
that's the story this whole time. You know that, right, Doug?
Oh, is that the cope that he developed an old age stutter that's not.
No, he's always had
or anything.
It.
He's always,
no,
he's had always it.
They say he's always had see. It. I watched clips of him from years ago going off. You know, he's at the podium, fucking just going off, not a hint of a stutter. He's not fumbling his words.
Right.
Now, it's goddamn sad the way he walks around.
Do you think he was even plagiarizing having a stutter, maybe from John Red?
Yeah.
He did Kennedy's stuttering. Speech and then threw in a little bit of Melendez stutter.
Yeah, it's that's just insanity. I don't know what's going on there. Every time you see Biden, he's just in worse and worse shape.
The thing I played for you that we're making.
Oh, my God.
We have to do a bunch of reshoots because Kyle's moving around too goddamn much.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
it's just not going to play. And that's in a very short
like
amount
a
of time.
Robot. Yeah.
You got to get the right bent arms. But he's, I mean, what is it now? Like four of those where it's like he goes one way?
Yeah, he goes one way. He's trying to shake hands with ghosts. Yeah. He's dancing like a robot.
You know, with FDR, I just, you know, Jimmy to a point when I was doing this show that like FDR, they covered his, you know, covered up his legs don't work.
Yeah.
I don't know. They covered that whole thing up for wartime.
Yeah. He was in a wheelchair.
Yeah, like you don't even need like a dead leg blanket for Joe Biden. It's just like you're gonna most people are gonna not want to watch it anyway, and they know not to watch. Like,
yeah.
They're not gonna visit grandpa. They're like, how's grandpa doing? You're like, it's fine. Mm-hmm. He's fine. Like, all right, good.
Yeah, yeah, no one really wants to visit him. The FDR thing's kind of funny because they had him in one of those oldie time wicker wheelchairs, like those giant ones, and they had a little blanket over his legs. Who didn't know? Like, it's so funny.
Your duty. It's like Liberace.
Right.
You know, of course they all knew, but if they, yes. If they can't like catch on, it's their duty to mind their own goddamn business.
When Liberace was on Merv Griffin or something, be like, Lee, when are you going to find that special girl and settle down? Well, Merv, I've looked all over the world for the perfect girl. It's so funny. And everyone had to be going, oh, this guy's flaming. It's so blatantly obvious. But yeah. All of Hollywood just kept their mouths shut.
Yeah, right. It was more of a – it's like, you know, like the – it's a lot of like exploitive, horrific business, but it was like more competently run where, you know, like what – everybody knows their department.
Right, right. The machine. Yeah. Yeah, keep your nose out of this. You do this. Yeah. Well, I met a lovely young lady in France. France.
Did you see his two dick behind the candelabra?
Yes. Oh, yeah, with the weird plastic surgery.
Yes.
It was so good. Just watching Michael Douglas being fucked by Matt Damon was hilarious. Fucking hilarious. It's over his shoulder. They're doing amyl nitrate poppers and shit. You're like, oh.
I haven't seen the movie. I've seen that part. That's it.
Everyone has. It's after you jerk off and you're finished. Like, you don't need to watch the rest.
He goes,
yeah.
What are you doing?
Matt Damon's just behind him. It's so fucking disturbing.
Since when have you been with a lady?
yeah. But that was it. They fucking loved him. Women loved Liberace back in the day.
Yeah, well, so Liberace, at least they kind of got that in Liberace. It's not, he's a gay. He's a gay narcissist. So he wants to fuck himself.
Yes. Okay?
And so he made the guy get plastic surgery to look like him. You know,
to look like him. Hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, I was watching that and halfway through, I'm like, maybe there's something to this.
Yeah,
maybe
the same dimple.
Maybe that's what I've been missing my whole life is plastic surgery to make somebody look exactly like me. I'm not going to knock it. I don't have the resources to do it, but.
I want a woman to do it. Is that weird?
Oh, that's pretty.
I want a woman
to
get Liberace surgeries, a series of Liberace surgeries to look like me.
Yeah.
And then I want to fuck the shit out of her.
There was a great episode great episode of Seinfeld where George was going out with a girl that looked like Jerry.
Oh, yeah, right.
And he didn't notice it until someone brought it up, and then that was all he could see.
Oh, God.
And Kramer's talking about like, oh, it's your, you know, you're just trying to satisfy your man love for your best friend. He got so pissed off he couldn't go out with her anymore. Yeah. It'd be the worst thing. That was what it was like. Like, when I remember growing up and going out with girls, it was a small pool of girls from the school or the neighborhood. And a lot of times they were the sister of a guy you knew. And they had that family resemblance of the guy you knew. So it was really weird. You're like, oh, God, making out with Bob.
You know what? You know, it's funny. I thought that would like be hard for me the first time, and it wasn't. And after that, it just got easier and easier.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like killing, like I can't. Bob's. Wait, hold that.
Yeah, his sister's fucking. You know, got the same like jaw and nose or something. You're like,
yeah,
kind of can't do that.
One time in, oh my God, I think I told Dick this at his house. I can't remember, but I'm not gonna give the whole story. But what you know. One time I'm in Ottawa doing a lot of bad coke back when I would like really be that stupid enough to be like, oh, I should try to get some coke in Ottawa. and like the worst drug in the fucking world of like, especially like then we're like, hey, let's get some hookers kind of, that you're not, your dick's not going to fucking work.
Of course not. Coke, please.
You know, now like in America doing that you'd be, oh man, I'm out, whatever. I was like $1.75, right? $175. But it was Canadian money. So you know, you make those mistakes in Canadian money. It's not as
not as costly, yes.
Yeah, it's this guy who was a Canadian pro football player. It was his idea, like as online, but Mama going, yeah, all right, so he gets two girls. One girl
they're both from the French side to coming over, you know? And so one girl's kind of attractive, like probably like French Lebanese or some Canadian shit, right? Like it was again, the other one, I'm not like chubby. I don't even want to say chubby. She's like thicker than that girl, okay? Not in any way bad. And kind of like a, so I'm realizing partway through, well, she's languidly tugging my dick like an earthworm, my worthless coke dick. Okay. Anyway, I'll offer, hey, you guys want to do some blow? And they're like, ew, we don't do coke. That's how and like this. And I'm like, and I'm like, you know, okay, the coke thing, like the whole thing's stupid, but I realize, so she kind of looks like my sister vaguely. And has a haircut my sister had when we were kids.
Oh, no.
That's not good. And coke dick. Like
that. Oh, my God. We may have to cut this whole part of this whole story. And then they had showed up, you know, I knew like, okay, I got a bag. I got to get Cialis from Buddy Bolton, this comic. And I went up to his room because he was older. He was my age now when he was doing these shows. I was out there. And Buddy, I knew he had Cialis. And I didn't even know it was like 3:30 a.m. So he was like, oh. So he gave it to me, I take it. And they arrived right after I took it. Okay. And it's like, so it hadn't worked yet. So that's like the set. And then later after they leave, by the way, my little limp pecker there, like she goes, that shit'll kill you, eh? A hooker in Ottawa said that to me on her way.
Oh, God. She's giving you health advice. Yeah.
They leave and I start feeling my blood pressure. I'm like, oh, my God.
No
like,
shit.
And then I remember like, you know, I don't think you're supposed to take fucking dick pills and shitty coke. I don't think, or any cocaine. I think you're supposed to not do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You're not supposed to do that.
Oh, that's good to know. That's not on the package.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. If you want to,
I got an in case of emergency break perforated seal stash of Cialis yeah. in my drawer that I've been waiting for to not blow another one of these moments.
It's like to see if a girl
looks like I need to do some googling. Like
right,
yeah,
right.
Exactly. I'm not gonna break the perforated seal for you, bitch. Get out of here.
Well, so I think I'm gonna die at that point, right?
And oh shit, yeah.
And so that's how tonight. So after that sister thing, then this Canadian. Pro football player, you know, who was like kind of a dirtbag guy. I was like, I'm going to die. This guy sat and held my hand while, by the way, I have a full erection that I don't want.
Oh my God.
He sat with me and held my hand until I was sure my heart wasn't going
to
explode.
Talk you down. Talk you down.
Yeah. It was like a behind the candelabra. Like,
if right, right.
One of us had AIDS years later, then that would be the same movie, probably.
God. Well, it's frightening. What are you doing? That's like. That's a bad combination right there. Like both of those things are bad for your circulatory system, I think, you know. They give that to what's her name? Fucking Marcellus Wallace's wife. What's her name?
Yes.
Mia. They had to give that to Mia Wallace in her heart.
What was it?
You adrenaline? Don't take that if you're okay. Yeah.
Did you stop doing them together, Kurt, or did you just figure, well, lightning's not going to hit twice?
I think I gave him the rest of the coke. He earned it with that. Okay. You know, after he was basically coerced into a fully homosexual experience by
right, that's qualifies as gay.
He
yeah,
be like, I wonder how he tells that story.
Yeah,
he tells it like Terry Crews in front of a bunch of like Canadian Parliament.
Did you put a box or anything like over? Did you hide your erection yeah, with a book or something like a math book? Open it up and make a little tent over it.
That is sounds like an episode of Degrassi. Now, but no. I had a towel over my head like this, like Ichi the Killer, I remember. Sweating. Hey, responsible adults over the age of 21. Taking a quick break for the show to reach out to you if you live in a state where Delta 8 is legal and you want to get high, really super duper legally high. Well, now's the time to go to yodelta.com where you can stock up on high quality lab tested Delta 8. Now, if you can't get your hands on, I mean, I'll travel and I'm like, wait, that weed's not legal. Like, I'll be like, where's your dispensary? And like, we still don't have it. I know a guy who could come tomorrow. That's what I'm facing when I go out on the road. You got to live in that shit, some of you. So what are you going to do? Well, you get Delta 8 because it's not illegal. But what, you get any Delta 8? Because I'm telling you, it ain't all good. But yo, Delta 8 is pretty great. And yes, it did rhyme. And yes, I wrote that copy for free because I believe. And yo, Delta 8. What is Delta 8, you ask? It's found in hemp and can be legally shipped to various states and get you high. At YoDelta.com, you find a mix of gummies and vapes for all of your getting stoned needs. And I can tell you that if you get the right kind, which is, I feel this kind, Delta 8 works, and you should take them responsibly, which is, I guess, like, what do we have to say that legally to take? What are you, stupid? I guess we have to say that like a legal disclaimer, right? Take it responsibly. Don't stick it in your rectum. It's not an anal suppository, I guess, is what they're saying, because you wouldn't even die from weed, let alone Delta 8. But if you take a lot of gummies, there's something that works, and that's what I got, the gummies. That's what they sent me. You take a lot of them, you could be like, oh my God, I should have taken these a little more responsibly. They were kind of good and I was hungry. I didn't take them responsibly. So I guess it's good I said this to you. So once more, that's YoDelta.com, the official Delta 8 sponsor of the Gas Digital Network. And if you use promo code GAS, you're going to get 25% off. Once more, that's promo code GAS for 25% off YoDelta, home of the Delta 8 that will get you super high. Okay, wait. So Mike, I want to play this thing. Put Brandon Fraser says the whale roll biggest challenge. Do you know what this is?
Yeah, he's in a movie where he plays a big fat guy.
Yeah, big fat fuck.
Yeah. And,
but this is him talking about, I like when actors, when I was in Dick Show, we were talking about it. I'm not obsessed with it. And on Kyle's After Party, I was making play clips of when they're talking about their toughest roles.
Oh, yeah.
Like how tough it was for them to do this stupid moron job that they do.
Yeah,
like even good ads, like a lot of little nuances that take a real some kind of talent and intelligence to pick up, but that's it. Just for that.
Yeah,
they all can't fucking read. How many actors
they're always terrible when they're themselves. I always said they have to be an empty vessel
John Melendez before. Yeah,
they need a writer to, boy, is he looking like Shatner.
Wow.
Except Shatner's
suit on here.
Shatner's 90.
I feel bad for this.
My journey to where I am now has been.
Start again.
Journey. Anytime they fucking say journey, I check right out.
Yeah. Well, just stay with it though, because it gets even worse. Okay.
My journey to where I am now has been to explore as many characters as I can. And this presented the biggest challenge to me that I wanted. And by far and away, I think that Charlie is the most heroic man I have ever played.
Pause it.
I hate when they do this.
He said by far and away, which is like nautical terms.
Right. Far and away.
The bravest man I have ever. Didn't he kill like three mummies?
Yeah.
But the bravest I ever was being the.
You could comb the seven seas. You'll never find a more worthy character. Arr. Far and away. I'll keelhaul you.
It's 2 days.
You deny it, I'll keelhaul ye.
I play the rest.
Because his superpower is to see the good in others and bring that out in him.
Like Anthony,
and in that process, he's on his journey of salvation. I needed to learn to absolutely move. In a new way, I developed muscles I did not know that I had. I
developed muscles. Do you even felt about, right? I had to learn to move
fat?
In a new way.
Like, yeah, because
he's big fat fuck has to learn to move in a.
They put on like a fat suit that, by the way, he probably wears a size small in fat suit, clearly, because he's halfway there. He had to learn to move in a new way.
Look at how Christian Bale's looking at him.
That's not Christian Bale.
It's got to be.
No. Maybe Darren Aronofsky or just some guy that gets his coke.
It looks just like Christian Bale.
I know. That's how you know Christian Bale like is a real chameleon. It could be him.
I swear, I would bet money, but okay. His ears look a little different.
It does look like him there, but Christian Bale has nothing to do with the whale.
Wait.
Look at those eyes. Shit. I don't know, Ant-Man.
I could see him saying, oh, good for you. Shut the fuck up, you fucking wanker.
Are you God?
He looks like him, dude.
But you hear his voice when he's doing this. The hardest.
Look how serious he is.
He's serious to the point where I'm like, oh, like are you crying, Brandon? And he's, I'm always crying. Like, his whole voice sound like when in the MCU when the Hulk figured out how to be the Hulk all the time.
Yeah.
Like now he's Professor Hulk. Okay, press play.
I even felt a sense of vertigo when at the end of the day when all the appliances were removed, just as you would feel stepping off the boat onto the dock here in Venice, that undulating feeling. And
what?
I say this because it gave me an appreciation for those whose body is similar, because I learned that you need to be an incredibly strong person
that lifts
physically,
weights.
Mentally, to inhabit that physical being. And
you
I think
fat.
that is Charlie.
And I'm also. Not going to be surprised.
God, that's funny. You are fat.
You already are fat, Brendan. What are you talking about? You're not like a Twiggy up there talking about how horrible it is. I got off a boat and removed, and I no longer look fat anymore. Like, you still look fucking
fat, dude. I got off the SS person of size at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And you know what? And I had vertigo. I literally had vertigo from being so much lighter so quickly.
You're just jiggling, bro. All
I was like, am I floating through the air?
They but put there's one thing they put on to give him a little more of a double chin.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, when I took that off, I felt like I could fly.
You know what I learned? Of people, morbidly obese people are the most physically fit people on earth.
Strongest that will ever, ever
the strongest,
say.
Best shape. Their bones are denser, especially
right.
near the knees.
Wow.
That's probably true if you're like a blue whale, like an actual whale, not him playing this character. I love when they start that shit where they talk about the character like it's another person.
Yes.
You know, Charlie is so brave and taught me so much. Shut up. It's you. You play the fucking stupid thing. It's not a real person.
That's what Ron Jeremy would do, tell himself before he got picked up for his random sexual assault.
Yeah, yeah.
The character of Ron doesn't understand boundaries.
Right, right. That's the character of Ron, who's so brave and so fat.
Okay, so yeah, now, if you had to Brandon Fraser actor speech, what it took for you to do that impression of stuttering John Melendez earlier.
What
you learned. If you could tell us what
playing,
you learned.
Playing John Melendez was one of the toughest roles I've had. As everyone knows, he's a stutterer. So I had to incorporate stuttering into my acting. Yes, yeah. Yes. And to become so stupid, so incredibly moronic, was one of the most difficult things I had to do. I had to clear everything out of my head and act like a blithering idiot in front of everybody for months and months on end. And still, I don't think I was able to really capture the imbecilic behavior of, yes, stuttering John.
And would you say that what you realized is that stupid people are the smartest people of all?
Stupid people are indeed the smartest people. When I actually saw something that challenged my mind after the role, I got vertigo. I was dizzy from the weight of actual knowledge in my head again.
Flooding back into your head.
Yes,
you clear
flooding
out.
Back.
It's, you know, the gravity of the burden.
Oh, yes, yes.
Of having an intellect. You see Time Bandits when the bear is, I can't, he says, underlings, you are so mercifully free of the ravages of intelligence.
what a great way to call someone stupid. So complimentary.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Wait. And so here's the other thing, Mike. We got to take a quick break from this education that you've been getting and talk about our old friends at rockauto.com. Whether you're driving an old classic or a real piece of junk, the car market is hot. Why? Because people are losing their homes, and it's like a smaller home that you can move around when asked to by property owners and the cops. And that's why I want to tell you about rockauto.com, the one-stop shop for all auto parts you need to keep your car on the road and in pristine condition. It's been in business for over 20 years. They have every part you need at amazing prices. No reason to run around different stores, websites, or auto shop. Rock Auto has what you need in stock. And guess what? RockAuto.com prices are always reliably low. That means they don't change prices based on what's going on in the market. Yeah. You get what that means, right? Like every other one, every one of these other fuckers, can I even say that, Mike, on this ad? They don't do that. They don't do that bullshit. You don't need to constantly check to see if what you need is available and if now is the best time to buy. What am I working on, Wall Street? I just need a muffler and some warm blankets when I sleep in the back of my car. So go to rockauto.com. They make it easy to maintain your car and save money. It feels good knowing your car is in top condition. Once more, that's rockauto.com. And tell them we sent you. There's a box where you check out to put it in our show name, which is Can't Get Right. It's a terrible name for a terrible show, but you got to admit we guided you to rockauto.com. So let them know. Let's get back to it. Billy Bob Thornton inside the actor's studio.
Oh.
Sling Blade. It's Billy Bob Thornton explaining to that guy, to that old Duchess.
Yeah. About how, that old Duchess.
How he first, and that guy is like, he's literally the voice in Brandon Fraser's head that made him talk that way.
You see
how
Brandon Fraser's
talking? As if that guy. Now, what would, if French philosopher Jacques Chirac asked you these three questions, I'd say Stern's pretty funny when he used to play Kiefer Sutherland. Like, least favorite word. He said the fucking N-word like in the 24.
Oh, yeah.
Guy, with the gravitas of Jack Bauer. He knew exactly his least favorite word and said it boldly and directly as if it were his favorite word. And that's what I learned.
That's
that
great.
That word is actually the best word.
How do you? Okay. Yes.
Wait, go to the beginning because Kyle does that stupid Craig character. Hey, we were crying. Like, it's too hacky to make a sketch about inside the actor's studio, but we were watching this and cracking up, and I wanted to be like the guy, and ask him, like, may we speak with Craig? And kind of,
could you?
No, like, wait, but watch this.
The world certainly changed, and so did ours. With a remarkable movie came out called Sling Blade.
Change the world.
Change the world.
That's the world.
It has a very interesting genesis. Where
genesis.
And when and how was that character born?
Brandon Fraser has that hair, too.
Well, that's something. What's really great about this show is you can just say exactly what happened. You know what I mean? This character is based
Look
on
at these
two
people.
Different
Shut up.
Ones
Do
sort
the
of
impression.
Morphed together.
Very white
one
crowd.
Was black, one was white.
It's the actor's
Tish. Look and the walk and the mannerisms came from the black one. The situation came
black
from the white one.
Two people he knows.
He was literally fed like a dog out back of his house. And the guy actually, he was very good to me when I was a kid. The actual voice that I use in it and the look really did come about because I was doing a movie for a cable network, and I was playing a railroad conductor in the 20s, and they'd given me this stupid-looking haircut, and I had a wool suit on that came up to about here. I looked like a cue ball, and they put this really white makeup on me, and I was looking at myself in the mirror, and I thought, wow, you really look ridiculous. And I was feeling really bad about myself, so I started making faces at myself, and then I did, as God is my witness, the whole opening monologue to Sling Blade, I did it in the mirror right then. The whole thing. And I had no idea where it came from. I just did it in the mirror, whole monologue.
Sorry.
And then
there would be applause there.
I started doing it in the
theater. Should have been applause right there, by the way.
There should have been a pause break for the thing.
Yeah,
I had no idea. You just told us where it came from. You knew two, I guess, slow people is what?
Growing
up, one black and one white. The black one especially.
Yeah.
You were sitting looking in the mirror in this suit where you, by the way, probably looked like me like about a year ago. Like bonehead. I just realized looking like I'm in my like this Billy Bob Thornton years of
Yeah.
I was just the same fathead Billy Bob Thornton just like a year ago. So he looks at me and goes, boy, you're ugly. You looked at like them old R words I used to know, back down. Anyway, come on in. And then he did the entire monologue to the Sling Blade, if you recall it. Like, I killed my mama.
Yeah. Killed her.
I don't know where. Oh, my God. And then, by the way, I want to point out his hat. Is that his band? Is that why it says that 45? Did he have a band then called that? Or is that at least a different band? It's a band. I know that.
Is it?
Better not
is
be
that
his
own band? Oh, God.
Yeah, I think he's wearing his own merch as a hat, I bet. All right, play.
The grass is always greener with actors. They want to be rock stars. They want to be broadcasters. They want to anything but what they seem to be so passionate about.
Yeah, right. And yeah.
I was on a one-man show, and I did all these characters in the show.
Is the face prosthetic?
No.
No, it is right now, actually. I look like Sling Blade.
There's no prosthesis.
I've never used any prosthetics.
How did you do it?
It hurts. Hurts bad. And the voice also hurts. So I always had like chloroseptic spray and stuff like that. I had to spray my throat. The face, you just...
Could you pause for a second?
Can
because
you do it now?
Can I do
it? I understand, having been in the construction industry, how the pain you get from making a voice, as opposed to, you know, being on a 120-degree roof, putting fucking shingles up, or in an attic that's even hotter than 120 degrees. So I get what he's talking about, the pain of having to go like this. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's terrible.
Hurts. Well, the strength it takes to have
the strength.
This. all right, wait. Okay, go ahead.
Now he's going to do it.
Wait, yeah, go back to where he goes. Can you do it?
Oh, he's going to do it.
Forward is.
Can you do it now?
Can I do it? Oh yeah.
Would you?
and
when you
do
that,
the voice.
Then
no.
He only
just went
did,
like
can
that.
Can you stick your jaw to a bit now? He does it. We all applause break.
That's the guy. There he is.
And when you do that, then
a weird guy.
How do you produce the voice?
It comes out. It comes out.
Do you remember the first few lines of the monologue?
Oh yeah, you know what? This is so funny because you know I never will do this, but this is kind
are students.
Yeah, I know, because you guys are like, you know, but I mean I could never do this on like a TV show or something. But it's like I think
you're
it went.
Here he goes. Got to get into it. Look at him.
Not acting like it.
Look at him. He's getting into it.
What you are wanting to know is what I'm doing in here. Mm-hmm. Well. I reckon the reason I'm in here is because I killed somebody.
He's doing it. Bravo. Yeah, I was, look at me. I'm in the back there. I was one of the guys at the Billy Bob Thornton.
Oh, I don't know if anyone who went to the Tisch NYU
right
fucking thing is out there that sees this, but please get in touch with me if you attended.
Yeah. Did this, any of these go on in, to get in the business?
Them.
Are any of them in the business? A gaffer? Yeah. Anyone?
Yeah, sometimes.
You want
sometimes
me to pull it up? There's like a video of an A-list actor on one of these.
Yeah. So this is, by the way, you see how the Me Too sex thing, sex psych work, you saw the looks of the crowd where they look at the actor.
Yes.
And they were like, I would literally do anything he told me if he could teach me the craft of talking like a waterhead. All right.
Yeah, they're like, they're a fucking stunned and amazed. That he's doing a waterhead impression.
That's
how something that every jock in high school does all the time.
Oh, yeah, that's how you get the girls.
That is a great point from Dick Masterson. I forgot, like, basically what he did was some jock mocking a slow kid.
Yeah.
And by the way, at my school, I went to school in Jersey. None of them would even mock a slow. None of them would do that.
No. Like, just the theater kids.
Too busy having sex with the pretty girls.
Yeah. All right, let's.
Hey, Mr. Penn. My name is Bradley Cooper. I'm a second-year actor. My question's regarding Hurley Burley. What was it like to revisit a character, Eddie, after a 10-year hiatus? Did you have new discoveries? Did you find that it was a different approach because you had already done this character before?
Yeah,
I hate questions.
It was the first time that I'd done a film of something that I had done a play.
Look at him looking.
And so, because I think Marlon Brando once said,
He was like, they must have listened to that question and gone, oh, this guy's going to be an actor. He sounds like a vapid, stupid, empty vessel. He looks good. Yeah,
well, he probably ran it by the production first. You know,
yes.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I bet you James Lipton didn't like the improv, actually.
yeah. Who's that? Bradley Cooper. You were here on the Actors Studio.
Bradley Cooper, like, because the thing over you, is it just Bradley Cooper on there? Is there more? It's all like that. Also, that's things you saw. If you edit it, it like to a gay porn. It could be the beginning of like a gay porn. Like,
yeah. Like, yeah.
They all, the one thing they all know, these people that they learned that they don't tell you on the thing is like, look in the camera like you want to fuck it.
Yeah.
Hey, will you do Dr. Phil? I was going to say Mr. Phil.
Mr. Phil to you.
When you were on, yeah, to Dick Masterson. But when you were on Mr. Phil, did you see, what did he come off as to you? Like, did he seem like he was trying to launch you like a Danielle Bergoli? Or like, you know what I mean? Because you were doing like
he was a real asshole, and I got the sense that everybody on the set really hated him. Like they hated working for him. He was like they'd have to roll out the red carpet for him to come in. But he's got like the sickest people trying to get his attention all the time. So that has to have a corrosive effect on your mind over time.
Yeah, society as a whole.
Yeah.
Like jangling. With the intellects of not even approaching a stuttering John, especially that kind of care, Dr. Phil.
Cash me like, outside. That's all it took. That's all it took.
Recently, where a guy who's like doing jokes where he's returning shopping carts and giving you like fake tickets for not returning your shopping carts.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah,
you know that guy.
Yeah.
So Dr. Phil had him on, and the guy called into my show, and I'm like, man, he's gonna try to sandbag you. Be careful. So sure enough, Dr. Phil's like, oh, what you're doing is like bullying people, and he had a guy on at the end of the show that was saying that kind of behavior increases suicides. So I'm like, you're telling me that's your whole episode is that telling people to return their shopping carts is causing people to kill themselves? Like that's what this show is now? Dick,
holy shit. I thought you meant that because Dr. Phil did that with this mentally deranged guy, like on a national show, that he was more likely to commit suicide and that's like that's why it was bad. I had no idea that Dr. Phil literally said giving out fake tickets for shopping carts.
Yeah.
Will lead to more by how much? I want to know what the percentage is of with the fake shopping cart tickets and without. How many? And that
death is too many. You know that.
They pull these dads out of their ass.
I got a lot of problems and I'm thinking of ending. I got to be honest. And I just got a ticket from a guy with a circus pinhead. He stands by a grocery store, writes out. It's not exactly stolen valor because it's not, but he hands it out. I got to tell you, I don't want to be alive anymore.
If one more negative thing happens today, I don't care what it is. One more. I'm blowing my fucking brains out.
20-minute delays on the parkway.
Yeah.
You check Waze, 30 minutes.
You know, you didn't take your cart back. Right there in the car in the lot.
Well, I'll be sure and apologize to Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Have this haunt your fucking nightmares the rest of you.
Oh my God. I wonder what happened to that guy that's his sense of control. Like, I'm gonna handle all the things going on. Like, I can't solve everything, you know? But this is the one little corner of the world that I could make
this
sure
is the hill
okay.
I choose to die on. The shopping cart fucking hill.
No. It's the hill I choose to live on.
Oh, God. You are Brendan Fraser.
Thank you.
That is awesome.
I think choosing not to get hair plugs or put that shoe polish on my head was one of the hardest, decisions. All right, let's take a quick break again. And you know why? To tell you that Yo Kratom brought you this episode. Actually, this is one of the better episodes, I would say. It wouldn't be possible without Yo Kratom, the home of the $60 kilo, you know? Basically, this Kratom cartel is what backs the show. And that's what you feel like. You feel like when you get a $60 kilo of Kratom, you're like, what am I in a cartel? Is this okay? I told you I flew and they sent me my free bag of giant kilo of Yo Kratom and I took it out of my luggage so that they could see it in security. And the security people were like, Kratom is perfectly legal here. Why would you? I don't even care. But that's the feeling you get.
And then for only $60, you're getting the very quality, fresh kratom, and the feeling that you're committing some kind of crime, but you're not. So if you're over the age of 21 and into kratom, which I am into kratom, go to YoKratom.com, the home of the $60 kilo and the official sponsor of Can't Get Right. YoKratom.com. You can get right.
And there, I can't think of two more qualified people to talk to comedians than Hillary and Chelsea Clinton.
Tim Dillon talking about it. Where he goes, like, Hillary Clinton, our real president, as far as I'm concerned. He goes, she's gutsy. And he goes, they talk to celebrities, which is what I like about it. It's not a bunch of nurses or cops or some crap. They go just to celebrities. Like Brendan Fraser gutsy. Yeah. In fact, if Brendan Fraser was just a natural born woman, he would be having this conversation. Hillary would have made a gutsy stop to talk to him about how brave it was to put on a fat suit over his fat body.
Imagine if the fat suit didn't fit, like they had to let out the fat suit. It's like, yeah, it's too tight. It's like, I can't get this on.
Take out a little more padding.
Think they had to get a regular, like, fat suit.
Yeah.
Put it out like a canoe.
How ironic if you needed a double XL fat suit.
Yeah. Well, you go on.
I don't know how the sizes run, but it's got to be embarrassing. He was in fucking Encino Man. Why is he talking like he's, De Niro in the 80s?
Yeah, also,
at his peak, he was playing
at his peak, he was Encino Man.
No language, and now he's that guy.
Encino Man, also braver of a man than the whale.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
imagine the century he's not from.
Being an unfrozen caveman in today's society.
Yeah.
You know, would he have to deal with right-wing fanaticism?
And your only guide is Pauly Shore?
Yeah. He was in a movie with Pauly Shore, and he's waxing fantastic about his acting prowess.
You know, on this journey.
He had to set an improvised breakdance in Encino Man. Caveman improvised. Oh, yeah, and he did it.
Find that, Mike. Caveman Encino Man.
Find that, Mike.
Mike, get on it.
Holy shit. Is that terrible? He's Encino Man, and he's up there talking like I get vertigo. Do you?
Yeah. Well, no, it was the vertigo from taking off the small chin appliance.
Right, the chin appliance.
It's diabetes.
The room is spinning.
Under an ounce worth of appliance, but in my soul, it's 250 pounds or so. Dude, now Alec Baldwin, if you watch his, because for the pilot show, we're always watching Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
That Brandon Fraser one, I could, like, watch. They have to be a certain kind of terrible. Alec Baldwin just musing to himself. He has a long one about, like, don't worry. He's happy he has kids, even though he misses a lot of things. He's happy he has 10 kids. I love my kids.
That's so fucking good.
And he can't. Okay. Oh, my God. He did blackface. Yeah. Isn't that the
best? Oh, my God. That's so brave.
Look at that. When I put that clay on me and inhabit the role.
I'll be back.
Oh, right. He had to learn.
This is also a land of dreams. Now these
the stuttering John? In the midst of all this love of all that to help themselves. Capitalist democracy. Why no one say the freedom is free? Lady, leave me on the way. Do no trust the American
way. Sacred life?
I got vertigo right there.
Oh my God, how racist can you
this
get,
is
you guys?
So racist.
What is this?
Look, he's dancing around.
What is happening?
What music video is
this? This is so racist.
Look at this. Make sure there's a clip of this, like, shocking Brandon Fraser blackface.
He learned caveman dancing in the modern age? Wouldn't his people have known that?
You see, you say there's no structural racism, then you see it in front of your eyes.
It's right there.
You think it's not structural. Look at it. You just saw.
D- Did he just, right after they yelled cut, did he just start eating huge amounts of food? He was very thin. He was very slender there.
Well, I'm going to wipe that smirk right off your face because, because he was, along with Terry Crews, he was the other of the man meet, the man me twos. Okay, oh, now Terry Crews.
Yes.
And I'm Brandon. Now, you saw Brandon Fraser. So without even hearing the full story, I believe him.
Yes.
Without even
yes.
hearing it. That was previously the most challenging role that he ever played. The bravest role was a young, hot guy who did want to be touched by a casting director. That's the role he had a lifetime. So, because he has like, but it's hard to tell because they're actors. So,
right.
What you can't shatter what already wasn't there.
Yeah.
How do you shatter a gaping hole?
He's there, you know. Yeah, if you got the offer of a career and a dick are dangling in your face by the same person, you know, you might do some things.
Yeah, and so, you know, all the, let's call them Harvey Milk Weinsteins that are out here.
Yes.
So ain't no justice getting them in. They're still firmly in place. Okay.
I have a lot of young actors that I'm mentoring. I bet you do.
What's your casting agent? Was it?
What's
his name? What's like Liberace's first name? Gene or something?
Frank? They just call him Lee all the time.
Oh, Lee. Yeah.
Hey, like, Lee.
What do these other actors say to you, Lee, when you give them advice? They come to you. No, wait, put Brandon Fraser. These young actors come up to you and they got a lot of dreams, like a lot of Bradley Cooper look in their eyes.
Yes, dreams. Oh. Well, what I would tell you is you need to take my private course that I have at my mansion late at night. Come over, Brandon. Take the lead. Now, I do a lot of method acting. Crystal method acting.
I was blaming myself and I was miserable. Okay, go this actor's story. See, now this is where the right.
Me too.
Now, you know, you saw Brandon Fraser. Like I said, he looked like, if you're like, now that guy, something messed up happened to him.
Yeah.
Maybe like he did 5 years in the pen and like you see how he is now. I would assume something horrible, but he's an actor.
Yeah.
And then when you read this shit, and fucking Dick Masterson is very good, by the way, picking up these nuances. You see what it says right here? The actor's story is a reminder that men experience sexual misconduct too. Wait, what? You mean like men are also raped as sexual misconduct? What is that?
Yeah.
What on earth does that mean? Do you mean just the entire time I've hung out with Big J and fucking Lewis and them?
That was sexual misconduct.
You know, ultimate white guy playing gay. I was in a hotel with Big J. Do you know Big J, Dick?
No.
You comic? He dresses like a lesbian roadie, like a
Legion
really
of Skanks.
Like when you're smoking out back, you're like this lesbian, like this chick, pretty cool. And
it's like Meatloaf if he was even more gay.
Yeah, like. Yeah. He's like Meatloaf if Meatloaf hadn't been uncomfortable the first time he did Rocky Horror. Like, so we can check, we used to go on the road in the hotel. And Jay's the king of doing that hilariously, okay?
Yeah.
And I'm on the phone with somebody, I don't know, it was my girlfriend. So Jay comes out of the bathroom, okay? And we were in San Francisco too, which is making this go
right
punchline. And he knows I can only see a corner of my eye because I'm in the middle of something. And he gets a washcloth this big, right? He comes in the bathroom, whatever. He comes out with a washcloth and just holding it over his little pecker like this and tiptoeing out like he doesn't want to disturb me.
Yeah.
Jay's like graceful. He's like a big dude, but he can kind of move. And so he's doing it just so I can barely see it.
It's hilarious.
Who the fuck was I talking to? I was talking to somebody where, you know, that distraction wasn't out. You think any of our black friends in Philly would have understood the nuance of what he was doing?
Probably not.
No, they just won't hang out with us anymore.
No, you'd hear a single F word and never hear from them again.
Because they saw what happened to Terry Crews when he tried to relate.
Yeah.
JS.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, it's his fault. You wanted it. That was pretty much the community's answer to that.
Do you remember when Patrice, did he ever like ruin Fight Club for you, Patrice?
By calling it homoerotic or
No.
What did he do? Best part.
Not well.
I know that now. Now I realize it was the hardest thing I've ever done and the bravest thing I've ever done.
Yes.
But after I get done, I feel lightheaded. Okay, so we're in a car going to some show, and I don't remember why it even came up. Fight Club. I think I'm just trying to reference something. He goes, and he wasn't being trying to hit me in any way with it, but he's like, oh yeah, Fight Club. It's like the ultimate white guy movie. He just said it like that. That's the ultimate white guy movie. And I was like, oh my God, that is the ultimate white. Like, it hit me. You know how he was he studied white people.
He knew white people better than white people.
White people study sharks.
Right.
He studied white people. He's like, it's really a beautiful animal, you know.
Misunderstood.
Yeah. Misunderstood, you know what I mean?
Misunderstood, yeah.
You're in their habitat.
Yeah, you don't judge the shark for what it's doing. It's a shark. You're like, oh, that's like your favorite white guy movie, he said. So I'm thinking about Fight Club, right? So you saw a dick, I assume, right?
Yeah.
So remember, he goes, they started Fight Club, Ed Norton and Brad Pitt. And I want you to hit me as hard as you can. They're in the back alley. And he does, he hits him. Then they start fighting just for fun in the back, which is the whitest. How come we don't fight enough anymore? Is that like, we can't keep living like this, y'all? It is the ultimate white guy. I feel like we've lost something. I was watching some drill rap, and I realized I don't think I could survive.
Drill rap.
It's not live to fight another day, son.
I don't
want to
use one of those shooty bangy things. I want to use my fisticuffs.
Like men, right?
Like how men do. They go out and they fight. Again, I don't care. I need to work it out
perfect.
Right now.
Yeah.
I want to fucking fight you. So wait, they're fighting. Then the guy walks out in the back alley of this decrepit bar in a certain part of town that's still not black, by the way.
Right.
One white, seedy part of town. Which you already know where you're going. The guy comes out. He goes, can I go next? Okay. Now, when that happens, you think there's three, but you realize it's Ed Norton fighting himself. So he was jerking off. He was jerking off in a parking lot.
Oh.
Then a guy
he
was cracking up at work in his job, in his white job. He goes outside and he just starts jerking off in a parking lot every night. And a guy comes out, can I go next? And the guys get together from all walks of life, you know, whatever, and they form a little club where they go in a basement. And there's other, you know, like when he beats up Jared Leto, right? And then Brad Pitt's like, what was that? Because I wanted to destroy something beautiful.
Yeah.
And Jared Leto's face, when he saw it again, remember it was all fucked up?
Yeah.
He used to be like really handsome. That his face represented actually Jared Leto's like perfect little pink puckered asshole.
which had taken a hell of a beating.
Yes. And you know, and you're like, he showed up, it's all gaped now. And you're like, how did I do this to this precious? It was like perfect and beautiful when I saw it.
Wow.
I was so mad. I wanted to fucking destroy it. And now look at it. Now it's mine forever. I thought about this a lot.
Wow. You know, I've watched it a few times, but never got that out of it.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, but only in short 15-minute bursts.
Yeah. That is a hell of a theory.
Inside the actor's studio, the asshole studio, you get these actors in and talk about how it's gay.
Dick, were you okay? So the thing I want to do with Kyle, where he's Craig, his character, where I'm like, can we speak to Craig? And he what you want to know, guys, like that. But I didn't want to lead it at top, just show this stupid interview, and it was going to be called Inside the Actor's Butthole. But you can't reference Inside the Actor's Studio now
without organically playing it. Yeah,
you have to. Yeah, like we're trying to come up with, yeah, if you do it first and then you show that's the gag at the end, because we have fake commercials, so that's one of them. But it's exactly that. Like, I was watching Sling Blade, I'm now inside the actor's butthole telling you how I came up with this.
Yes.
How did you? You're asking yourself the questions in this version of Inside the Actor's Butthole.
Were there any prosthesis of the butthole, or was it the actual butthole? Did you use prosthetics?
Well, I love that he can't say fat suit. He's got to say appliances. Like
appliance,
that
yes.
Which appliance were you wearing?
I'm wearing a clothes dryer.
I said that to girls with fake tits. I'm like, how much of those appliances cost you?
Appliance.
Who paid for those appliances, dude?
Yeah,
I'm a big, beautiful appliance looking for guys. If you're not over 6 feet tall.
Hey, is my AC, is it coming in over the mic? Mike?
No.
Is it okay? I don't hear it at all.
Yeah, I hear it.
Oh, this is a decent mic then. When you were show, I mean, I did Dick Show.
Funny.
You ever see the Dick Show that where he does Fat Watch?
Oh, yeah. I've been keeping my eye on these fat broads for the last couple years, ever since COVID hit, because they've been exploding.
Yeah.
Waistlines have been exploding, and somebody's got to document it. You know, we're going to wake up in 5 years and be like, why the fuck am I, why are we all sleeping next to beanbags, guys? What happened here?
Wow. You know what it sounds like?
Somebody had to have been watching this. That's me.
Dick, it kind of sounds like when somebody tells you how they're worried about our democracy now. I'm like, you understand, Dick, too late was 20 years ago.
The second best time is right now, okay?
What would you say?
We didn't see it
the
coming.
The second best time to start the Fat Watch is right now. The best time was 20 years ago, but... They could always get fatter. That's
what
I've learned.
Your idealistic environmentalism, kind of, where I'm like, I already gave up on it, but you're like, no, guys, every little bit. What do you call it? Our carb footprint.
Yes,
carb footprint. That's crazy.
I'm saving someone's wife out there. It's one wife at a time.
Women need to reduce their carb footprint. Do you ever have, you know, when I, like, back in the day when I was an award-winning feminist writer, as I think people listening to this
yes
probably guessed it,
that was a Kurt I loved.
Yeah, that was, it took me a long time to get back to that Kurt, and I said,
brave
Kurt, right now you look like Brendan Fraser. Got a head full of shoe polish. Your voice is always quivering while you speak.
Yes, very very back. On the brink of an emotional breakdown.
Yeah,
and how brilliant he is.
And find that kid and accept it, how brilliant you are. And that's when I realized I love actors. So I love and also don't want to hang out with them like I would a comic. Or like,
oh, yeah.
Like,
I imagine.
I like a lot. There's some that are cool shit that I like, but I mean, it's so much less good than hanging out with comic. It's so much less good 9 times out of 10 unless they're really –
I don't know why, but why do you want to, or most people want to hang out with actors? Like, they're such huge celebrities. And then anytime you've gotten the opportunity, you spend the whole time trying to figure out how you can approach this person and start a conversation where, first of all, they haven't heard it before. Secondly, in the limited time you get to spend standing next to them, you have to make an impression that they're going to go, oh my God, it's my new bestest friend ever. I can't believe this guy. Where have you been? And then you can't make it gay. So it's just got to be like a bro thing. It's very hard work. It distracts you from everything you're doing. It distracts you from everything you're doing at whatever function you're at when one of these fuckers shows up and you're thinking with everybody else in the room, oh, I'm going to be the guy that, like, hey, you want to catch a movie?
Yeah.
Oh, sure, Brad Pitt. Yep. Let's catch a movie.
That's the art of the geisha. You come in, you make them believe that they want to catch it. You want to catch, that's what it is. They're trained. Yeah. That's why everybody knew actors. Women weren't allowed to do it. It's so despicable.
Right.
They're like, honey, this is like coal mining. It's dirty.
You're ugly, a whore.
But we don't even look upon it with the dignity of a coal miner. It's like a step removed from the Dancing Boys of Afghanistan level. Okay? It's not, women shouldn't have to. That's why the boys have to do it in Afghanistan, because women are too sacred to dance around for old men's dirty dicks with bells on. Right? And I'm sure, Dick, you cover this in your book. I didn't read it, but I'm sure you cover it. Then, like,
I'm sure,
like,
you cover
I
that.
I want to do that job. How come you get to be dancing with bells on for your main pang? And then they do it. Like, hey, they want to pound me in my asshole. Right? What about my dreams of being a dancer? I was an 8-year-old girl who made a promise that I would be better than boys at dancing for old rapist men with a guitar, sitting on a carpet like it's a chair.
Feminist writer.
Yeah.
I got a Peabody too for a feminist, for my feminist writing, not anything else.
I was at Roseland and Edward Norton was there. It was a concert. I think it was No
Doubt. It was just him talking about himself?
Yes. It was him on stage talking about himself. No, it was Radiohead. So I was up in the balcony VIP section, And Roseland used to be a great venue. The balcony would kind of have these little parts that would overhang on the floor, so you could get a great view. And I found myself standing right next to Edward Norton, and I'm like, now what do I say to this guy? Like, I have to say something so I could tell my friends I talked with Edward Norton. But now I'm missing Radiohead because it's all – I'm consumed with saying something that isn't just, Fight Club. Like, I got to say something profound and cool.
Does it remind you of anything?
Gay. Yeah, it's gay. It's Fight Club.
I guess that's
Fight Club. I was fucking
– Well, it's like talking to a pretty girl like
– Yeah, like, of course.
But now I'm old, you know, so I could keep my head around like a pretty girl. Now
right.
I'm like, I can actually yes. completely like Gandhi. I could.
It's charming to pretty girls now.
Him, right. Like, so, but that I remember that when I first met Jay way back with some radio show in South Jersey, you know, this back in the, I guess, when radio was like Whip 'Em Out Wednesday times.
Right, right. It was very,
which isn't even my thing, but it's a definite South Jersey favorite.
Like, oh, it was, yes.
White Trash, yeah.
White Trash, yes, indeed.
Oh, it was. And I remember this chick was a, and she went on, I guess, your guys' show too. Remember, she was Stacy. Jay tells this story and it is not happening. But I don't remember why I brought it up. I'm smoking a joint. Wait, hold on.
Jay.
I just lost exactly why I was bringing it up.
I was talking about pretty girl. You're not nervous talking about pretty girls anymore.
Okay.
So
we first met this girl, Stacy. When we first met her, and we all went to a diner, and like me, him, and his friend Glenn, she was so attractive. Okay?
Oh, Christ. Three guys, one girl at the diner. It's like watering hole.
But this is the thing you were just describing as a joke, but it's real. This is, if you're the right kind of actor, you pull this off.
Uh-huh.
It was these three fucking like half moose, half something. We were fighting over her. We were all like, right? And then we're driving home back to his house. We're all talking as if she likes us.
Oh, God.
And all of us individually are saying it to each other and not hearing the other one saying the same thing. Now, she had picked Jay kind of because he had opened his chain wallet.
He was wearing a washcloth at the time. So
yeah,
she...
and he was featuring at that club, and he opened his wallet and he had just gotten his cat, his money. Dude, this was like life lessons I learned in Philly. She spotted his money, and so then it was hit. But none of us even put it together.
This is like Lycus 101.
Yeah, this is like basic, dude.
Put a stack of money on the table
basic
for no
chick.
Reason.
Like how zombies, or have you ever read They Live, the book? Not They Live. The Will Smith fucking.
I Am Legend.
Yeah, in the book, it's like, and they're outside wanting to get him, and they're not working together. And he's like, do they think they can all get me individually?
Yeah.
They're all working together, but for themselves and not aware of the other ones.
Like, guys,
so that's
at the diner.
That's the effect. And that's why it was so hard for me to dig deep and create that effect. When I was working on, I'm trying to think of a stupid show I did. When I was working on Comedy Knockout, I had to dig deep and find that guy that can do that. And I didn't do it.
You never succeeded in finding.
It's probably one of the hardest things you could do. And I salute whoever can do it, because I was lightheaded.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. Did you have to, are you kind of meaning that you had to separate yourself from the other guys at that moment to get that girl, to get her attention away from them?
She made each of us somehow, and she was stupid. She was a stupid girl. But she was just very attractive. And
Stuttering
like
Joan? What was her name?
She was a real Stuttering Joan, if you know what
yes,
I mean.
Yes, of course.
No, but whatever, I'm calling her stupid. We're all three morons.
Yeah.
That, like, I couldn't believe what later thinking about. And he ended up, like, going on the road. He'd take her everywhere on the road or whatever. And it was this type of girl, like, that, like, where it's, like, really inappropriate hangout. Now, you know, it's like, if you attract, DJ's like a nice guy. He's like a genuinely nice guy.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're going to attract damaged girls because you'd seem like someone who won't fucking brutalize them. Like, that's how that is, right? It takes a while, like, you know, so many nerds are feeling like, why is this girl? I beat a bell with some chick like that. I'm like, what is going on? And I still don't see a flag here. Why? It's because they've been But this chick was like really dumb. Okay. So like she's like shaving her pussy in front of him and shit in the hotel room.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. So it looks, when I say inappropriate, I'm not talking about they were nice to you. I mean, like, this is not how, what, I don't know what happened to you at home, but this is not how you're supposed to act with what you're saying, right? So Jay's with her and on this show, and like, and I guess he's all like, and there's all this weird shit. And then they're driving back and she goes, I don't know, I'm just really torn. You know, I just like really like you so much. She's driving home and he's looking at the road driving, goes, Jay's fucking be like, he goes, I know, I'm just fat, so you don't know. I get it, it's cool. Like, he says it like that as a joke.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay. And he's like, so I'm, you know, you're like, but no, like, waiting for that. Dead silent next to him. And he turns and look, dude,
oh,
dead
shit. Silence.
He says that. He turns and looks, and the girl's like this.
Oh, shit.
Jay has some of the best fucking.
She's supposed to have a return line there. That kind of helps them out.
No, she did have one.
It was
the international language. Right.
What's there left to say?
Oh,
there's nothing left to say. And Jay, I would say, I don't remember what he weighed at the time, but I've never even thought of as a fat guy.
No, he's a big guy.
Even when he was like fat, where I like look at old pictures and like, oh, like, because now he looks to me like the most fuckable fat guy. And I say fat, like big, right?
Yeah,
like,
he's a big dude. He's not like fat. You don't go, oh, Big J, that fat guy. No.
Yeah, right. No, right. You don't.
Big
he's
guy,
not like that.
Big J.
So for her to do that, I mean, Jay's the most rock and roll fat guy that can get
fat
can
guy.
Get that, you know? Yeah, everybody loves that.
If he was fat, we'd call him Fat J. It's Big
J. That's right.
He would be Fat J. Yeah.
Wow, that's a great point. That's exactly right.
Did he come up with that? Because it's brilliant. If you're a fat guy and you add big in front of your name, they can't go, oh, it's Fat Big J or Big Fat J. You got to just go with, oh, no, it's Big J.
Dick, has Fat Vito been like, I want to be called Big Vito from now on?
Big Vito is much better.
I should look out for him, dude. You should let it be like, dude, just say, hey, it's me, Big Vito. Just slip it in.
You better start that before Vito the pedo sticks.
Oh my God, dude.
You don't want that one.
Dick is like a caseworker of like, you know, someone who's really working these streets and understands what's going on with the thing.
Yeah.
And there's a gang war a brewing.
Yeah.
Dick works with these gangs, you know?
Yeah.
Trying to get them to calm the fuck down. And then they got to start shit like the dumbest, like prison, the shoe unit feuds are smarter than this by a lot.
My show is a lock-in. Like, my show is the multi-purpose room at the local high school that I get all the gang people in. And I'm like, all
right,
guys, we got 3 hours.
Right,
we're going to work this out here, okay?
Dick is dangerous minds with these people.
I flip it around.
Turns the chair around, yeah. He gets into Michelle Pfeiffer.
Oh, God, turns the chair around. Yeah, yeah. All right.
And I see him pop up all the time. You know, you watch his stuff that... This is what I know from.
It's like a shitty branch of comedy where it's not stand up. It's not, you know, it's just like everyone hates each other and it's trying to fight. We all have legit enemies. Like, we see each other. It's like, who are you guys fighting right now? Are you feuding? Are you enemies? Like, no, we're enemies. We're enemies today. We're enemies today. Will all right.
Yeah.
Will they say it like,
it's like wrestling? It's wrestling, but comedy. Right. It's not as good as comedy. It's not as good as wrestling, but it's somehow in the middle. It's wrestling for fat guys. Don't do enough drugs.
And that's why I learned Brandon Fraser was the bravest man on the earth. Yeah, that's right. That's why you know what? It's not just your whole thing is fat watch, I realized.
Everything, even women, guys, women, anybody.
Well, that's what I say, but it's mostly just women.
Yeah, okay. Celebrity woman has put on the most pounds since COVID?
Oh, God. Ooh. Celebrity woman. Bryce Dallas Howard. Is that her?
That's a fair one.
Yeah. Ron Howard's daughter, right?
Yeah, because she was like a prize.
He was a rail.
Lady.
Can we get a pic of that, Mike? Bryce Dallas Howard.
Boom.
And
defiantly gaining the weight. She's like
defiantly. Just bravely. bravely gaining that weight.
She's
with
like,
nary
I'm
a
not
care.
Wearing a hijab. It's like, I'm not
nary
wearing
a care what anyone or the industry says, right?
That's right. She's actually swelling up to the size of a poor person who's not even that fat by normal standards.
Who should like never Chris be in movies or television, right?
Chris Pratt, who's just got like a washboard abs every time. He's like super, like talking about God. He's like jumping in like, yo, my friends, let me just chat with you real quick. I'm defending this fat broad. Like, I don't care, whatever. Like, it's his flex. Chris Pratt's like redemption arc is this flex where he's this alpha Chad standing up for this fat chick.
Is he doing that now?
He's like, Bryce, honey, there's no question that we're going to make the same amount of money. It's like, dude, the money means nothing to you. This is such a gross flex that you're, go ahead.
I thought he was doing that back when the money thing, and she's saying that now, and then he's defending her on top of it now because I'll see if it's Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
Especially that, because I totally get, I'm trying to think, there's probably some that should be popping in my head now. There's not, but any like that shit I went through, like where if somebody likes, like if I like somebody and they're getting some bullshit and I don't even agree with it, their shit, I'll stick up for them or just out
of it. Right.
Because I know that shit and I'm like, it is a Christian thing a little bit because you're like the important thing, you know, it's like somebody I know. It seems crazy. It's like how the whole press couldn't understand Manti Te'o wasn't secretly gay. Like Anderson Cooper couldn't even get his gay head around it.
Big gay head, yeah.
His little silver, living in a renovated firehouse on goddamn 3rd Street in McDougal next to the Boston.
Oh, shit. Whoa!
See?
Wow, dude.
Wow, this putting...
It's a tarmac. That's a shade cloth that she's wrapped in.
God, all right, she's pregnant.
Is she done being pregnant now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know she had a baby.
Hey, a lot of women have babies and they look awesome.
Yes. Now that their purpose on this earth is done, what do you still have? You think they're still gonna have their mortal shell intact? You hate women. This is why I don't get that. Like, that's how hateful they are of women. These people say love women. Like, after she has a baby, okay?
Yeah.
Not my one reason for women existing. Like, I don't have any fucking guess.
Right. I'm saying, value in
the
you.
One reason any organism, that's your purpose, not your career, it's that. But life's great. You can do whatever you want, sweetie. But that's what I do. But come on, that's your purpose.
Right.
And of course, 90%. It's like the seed pod being delivered and then your body shrivels up.
Right.
And then you can this is how normal humans live. Like, especially Manti Te'o lived that. You know, the surfer looking mom, whatever, and then they turn these huge assed women with Easter Island head, the hips that go with Easter Island head bodies. Right? That's because their purpose. And then they understand that shit. Really, they're all Mormon. Yeah. They understand that family shit. They're gonna die and go to another. I think they get another planet or something each when they die. These people, like that's what it is, and it's so warped here that Chris Pratt, who's a Christian guy, and gets this.
Yeah,
he's a Christian. I'm telling you, I get this.
He gets a lot of shit for it.
You're like, look, your wife's gonna fall the fuck apart. You're gonna You're not gonna fornicate with anyone until you're married. Okay, and then you're gonna meet the one true person and have kids with them, and you're gonna have the maturity to know that they're gonna get fat and their tits are gonna look fucking awful.
Oh. That chick from fucking the Blurred Lines video, remember her? The model girl. She had a baby recently. She snapped right the fuck back.
How old
looks
is she?
Amazing.
Though?
Easy to do. She's proof. I
don't care. I'm going to just say it's easy to do.
Yeah, look, there you go.
There you go.
Get to work.
I'm writing a book. Not is it easy to do, it's easy to do. Yeah, she looks awesome. What's her name? Fucking
Emily Ratajkowski.
Yeah, Ratatouille or something.
I think
Emily Ratatouille is the girl from Blood Lines.
Ratatouille. Yeah. Oh,
that's her. Wait,
look at her.
She looks like better than before she had a kid.
Yeah, she looks great. She always looks great. But she had a kid. And...
Oh my God. You know what? Opie fucking Griffith's daughter's a pig. I take back
right?
that Christian. Chris Pratt is, that's why you know Christianity is a lie, because Chris Pratt defended her.
Yeah, he shouldn't have.
We should have asked for less pay for her and motivated her.
Right, right. A little motivation.
Her, I'm
imagine that.
I said, Dick, I'm a fucking idiot.
Where's
I'm over
that
here talking
guy?
About the purpose of life and that, you know, this is perverted, this Hollywood system, but you want to be on the goddamn screen?
Yeah.
Why do you think those Korean girls don't, they have to never have a boyfriend for the fans to know?
Right?
Because their pussy's a mukbang.
I love, you ever see the OnlyFans girls like have a little meltdown because people found out they had a boyfriend? They start unsubscribing. Like, I'm allowed to have a boyfriend. What did you think you had a chance with me? This is just a fantasy that I'm providing.
You're gonna lose subs, dummy.
Dude, I mean, I don't know. I'm sure you probably have dated strippers. I'm assuming at some point or something stripper. I mean, right?
Yeah, and, a little bit.
The no, don't bring
dated isn't
guy.
Really the word, but
oh, I did. And there's a rule, no boyfriends at the strip club in the lot of places, right? Where my girl danced, and I would come in and sit there, and she'd be and it was like, you couldn't be naked. You know, I was like 19 or something, right?
Was
and
it topless though? Or like bikini top?
No, Jersey, you can't have alcohol without, it's like I'm almost Sin City with Marv kind of guys.
Yeah. They got the like bikini top or lingerie and shit. Yeah, stupid and Jersey. Yeah,
right, exactly. South Gloucester Township.
Stupid can't pump Billy's, your own gas and jug handles. Fuck you, Jersey
Billy's,
dicks.
Billy's Beef and Go-Go was the name of the club.
I love it.
You could have added that to your fuck too and you'd be right. So these guys, so she was like, you can't say my boyfriend. And so I didn't have any, I don't give a shit. Like,
yeah.
I think if I haven't been Christian, I would be like a pimp if I wanted to, but I'm just dumb with money and I'm not, you know, like a rapist or
noble.
Something. But they always do. So I'm watching these guys and they all like, it's amazing. It's like that Sin City with Marv, like they're like super loyal. Like they do stuff for them. And then
you
have a boyfriend. They don't even like how we were all doing with that girl, Stacey. Like these guys don't even notice I'm there. I'm like, I look a lot of out of place. Like this beautiful young Brandon Fraser-esque daybait of a boy. They don't even go, what's he doing here? They're just like, the goddess is on. Like I'm just watching this whole like.
Yeah. Did it make you feel a little fucked up?
No, I felt cool. I was in a fucking church escaping from that get married to one fat chick your whole goddamn life shit.
Yeah. But I mean, watching your chick kind of, you know, smiling and shaking her shit to a guy, it wasn't, didn't make you a little jelly?
No, I was way into it.
Oh, okay.
It would make me jelly. I don't know what, if it, like, I guess people that were fucking when they were young, maybe it makes them jelly, but I'm not even supposed to be. I ain't supposed to be doing none of this. I'm in a doomsday cult. Like, I'm supposed to be going to Billy's Beef and Go-Go to secretly date a stripper.
I would do the same thing, but
to the
with
Jehovah's
money.
Kingdom Hall.
Like, just money. When you go into a strip club.
They paid for me.
And just fucking pull out so much money that every stripper wants to be your pal. And the guys, you actually get kind of pissed.
Because
they're not getting any time.
You're coming in their territory.
Now I'm weeding out because you pull out money to get them all over. But then you got to somehow get rid of the ones you don't want and keep the one that like you really were gunning for. And some of the strippers kind of noticed pretty quickly.
That's different. That's different, Ant.
Yeah.
So she was stripping her way through art school that I was going to. So
whatever the fuck their story is, right.
But I didn't know her from a strip club. She was just like this really like hot looking kind of hoary girl that dressed
odd.
Wow,
that's like movie story.
Yeah. And so we hooked up before that. And like you're talking about going in,
in, you watch the strippers, you go, wow, that one's pretty hot. I'd like her to at least come over. You're not looking to date or anything. Just grind on my leg for a half hour and I'll fucking leave.
I don't know. I feel like it ain't worth it to go unless one, I'm on the road and like the comedy club owner is friends with the local mom and pop strip club and you go, you know?
Yeah.
And even that is stringent. Or if you're just going, if you're the kind of guy, which I'm not, who can like come in basketball shorts.
No. It doesn't really have to do with completing or finishing an
it's
act.
Like food. I don't watch the Food Network either, though.
It's just, you know, you get to chat up a hot girl. She's just kind of there.
They're nice to you. Never in my life do I experience women just coming up being nice to me.
Right. Being not like incredibly hot, half-naked women being nice to me.
Yeah,
I'll pull out a few fucking bennies for that.
Yeah,
how you doing? Yeah. Oh, here's $20. Thanks for asking. I haven't been asked in 3 weeks. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh wow. Yeah. What if they did that and then went and cooked you a whole Thanksgiving dinner and brought it over right out?
Oh my God. Oh yeah, yeah. Oh god, imagine that.
Really,
she just
Asian,
gets like
really weird and Asian.
You're so nice, and I've never had anyone treat me like that. Oh god, you'd have to. I guess you gotta eat the turkey and then kill her and put her in a barrel somewhere.
And now we know why they don't do that. Right.
Yeah, that's why I thank God for those grizzled old norms from Sin City that protect the girls from sick fucks like you.
Right, right.
Yellow bastards like you whose dad let you do whatever. My dad says I can do whatever I want. My dad.
My old man.
Dick, you're a doctor that, frankly, I haven't heard enough from because of my I'm a bad podcaster. Would you split the difference in the strip club? Like, do you even go to a strip club now?
Yeah, you know what? We found recently, my girl and I go to a strip club every once in a while, you know, for fun. And we started just not getting approached. You know, like, this is weird. Like, this is really odd.
At first, it seems cool, but then they're like, they're here all the time. What's this about?
Yeah.
And then I think we found out that so many couples went and were having like meltdowns at the strip club over jealousy that the strippers developed an immune, like a natural. That was my face too. When we found, we're like, of course.
Eureka. I said Eureka in my head when you said that.
Yeah. We're like, of course.
So many things make sense.
It kind of got like that kind of like sex tourism kind of hit during lockdown, and I could see the wave of it happening. Like, yeah, now they're afraid to fuck around with couples because they know it's going to probably end in a big disaster. So, and then the club started charging two for two when it always used to be ladies free. But I think so many fat chicks started like just flooding these clubs.
The fat chicks again.
You know, I thought it was the economy from the lockdown, but I'm going to go with Dick Masterson.
It's the fat chicks.
Fat women's
problem. They sit around the stage without tipping so badly that the DJs had to remind them. Yeah.
It's fat chicks. So couples with a fat chick go to the club.
God.
Bachelorette parties, full on. And this is
I live in LA,
like near, you know, I live in a white area in LA with a moat of barrio around it. I mean, so you know how like the women in these areas, they look like Tweedledee and Tweedledum from Alice in Wonderland. Like they're busting both the height and the weight required. They're in a race.
They look like a couple of Brendan Frasers. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, brave.
They all put they're on brave. Their appliances.
They look brave and dizzy.
They look brave and dizzy. They put their appliance on and go down to the club, and they're just like sitting there like it's a fucking social. Yeah. Like they're at the zoo. I'm like, bitch, we're not at the zoo here. I'm trying to get something out of this.
Go somewhere else. My God, you're right. They're at the zoo. That's exactly right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And when I was going there, if you're not in it or part of it, like those guys, I'm watching these sad guys, and now I realize as Ant's talking about what they were there for, right?
Yeah.
And I'm watching it, and they're there. It's a service state. Now, because society is crumbling at every level, and everybody's doing everybody else's fucking job, even though no one, like Chairman Mao, when all the farmers and doctors switch places, because I don't like your attitude. Everybody starved and got sick.
Yeah.
Okay, that just is like, so that's like a guy doing it. This just naturally happened. The outsourcing got so out of control that now couples are they should be going to therapy, but who the fuck has insurance?
Right. So they go to a strip club.
Who's doing the therapy?
You got
to
do
somebody who's not supposed to be doing it.
What you just described, I think, is what BetterHelp actually is, that thing that people advertise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you get psychological help online.
And it's disrespectful.
Just to manipulate women.
It's disrespectful to strippers.
Hello? Connection lost, but yeah, go, sorry. Go.
No, but it's disrespectful to the strippers because besides like the visual like horseshit, which I didn't think about thinking like all these people like, it's just a woman being nice to me mostly.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm not even gonna, it's like trying to do your set. And like at that VA hall I'm telling you about.
Right.
It was fat women and it was fat ladies. And I got so drunk, I don't even drink like that, but I had to show these abusive fat women that I'm like cool with, like, you know, and oh my God.
Look at these revelations all over the place today.
Dude, I was trying to strip for these fucking soldiers.
You were stripping. Basically. You were the stripper. You were the zoo exhibit. You were in the cage.
So that's why I respect what these strippers do, because that's why, you know, and it's the hardest thing I've ever had to do. And is it brave? Yeah, it is.
It's brave.
And there's a bunch of fat chicks at my job.
Oh.
Like Al Bundy warned us about when I was a kid and we didn't listen.
Yeah, the fat chicks.
Guy wants to sell shoes, and what's he got to deal with?
My
fat
eggs.
Fat women's
my eggs.
Feet. Big fat feet.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now you get it.
I think we definitely changed the world here.
I know.
Man, I should have thrown to Dick like way more. He always has something that blows your fucking mind, dude.
A little bit is good.
Yeah, no, it made it worth more, because I mean we probably got to edit out about a good three quarters of the show. So it's great that. I'm joking. No, I'm joking. We're all canceled from everything, so we could do it.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. That is a great freedom that we have. The canceled.
Animals and proles and the canceled are free.
Yeah. I've seen petrified people. Oh, it's so alien to me that when someone goes like, oh, God, I don't even have a Twitter account. I would be in so much trouble, or I couldn't do that. Oh, a podcast. I couldn't do that because I'd say things that it's like, oh, isn't it freeing to be told you're a piece of shit and you don't deserve to talk?
I knew that when I came in. I have the self-esteem of a stripper. Yeah. That's why they like me like a boyfriend. It's like foster kids that got molested and ran away together.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Like, because I know that pimp things would be taken wrong. It's all taken wrong. I don't give a fuck. The show's called Can't Get Right. I explained the show when I made it. It is what it is. But next one will be live. Dude, I get shit now.
Awesome.
Jimmy. Dude, Jimmy's fucking, because Jimmy's like a left-wing guy, and I don't give a shit about, it's not that I don't give a shit about it, but so now the blowback you get of not being the right kind of,
you should have been a little more confrontational.
I think Dick's aware of this, but you know, he's like the left, they always say like the left, it's really not, it's like these like Liz Cheney, it's Liz Cheney people, which is like,
yeah.
So then they're furious that like you're going to acknowledge Joe Biden senile, mm-hmm. and it was like wrestling, just like what he said.
Yeah.
You're supposed to fucking not spoil it for the children that wrestling, or like, no, we in this house we say Santa's real. Like, you ever have a friend rope you into this fucking elaborate con and you got to improv like, I guess Santa's coming, and they're mad at you for just not, you know, like an adult child of an alcoholic, he calls it. They're mad at him. So I don't care about this shit, but people on Twitter and all that will come at me, and I they're like, you call yourself a fun. I'm like, no, I don't. He goes, did you hang out with Anthony Comeia? Yes, sir. I tweeted it. I don't know if you saw it. Like,
it's hilarious. I extra.
I'm adding in that I text with Gavin McGinnis sometimes.
Oh God, what are you, crazy?
Go fuck yourselves. We were at his house. We were at Dick's house, telling stories, and his show's great. Like, you talk whatever. Even then, it was like, I'm sick of it. You can't just, like, the conversation you would have, which is what that's why we have cable, to get as close to not bullshit. That's what Stern was supposed to be great for.
Right, right.
Yeah. So cut the shit. And I can't tell you how many people I have on. Oh, is this on? Is this recording? Cut that part.
Yeah, cut that out. I can't say that.
They give you the tools to do it to yourself.
Yeah.
And that's why we need to start a fight club. I want you to meet me in a basement if you get what I'm saying. I don't think more women are the answer to our problems. That's what
I'm going to destroy something beautiful.
Yeah.
Your ass.
Is that ass game? Yeah.
Give me that ass.
There's another Camille like, what was that about?
Yeah.
There's an Opie. There's like a ghost Opie who's never real.
Yeah. Dude, chill. What are you doing?
I just want to tear this guy's asshole apart from 30 seconds to Mars. Right, dude, I gotta go. Man, I miss you, Ant. I was so glad you could come on and do it.
So awesome, man. Yeah, Kurt, and, all the time, man. I love you.
I'm gonna have. I want to have Dick back. I'll have Dick back properly.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for having me on this one. It was great.
No, yeah, the Dick Show. I was cracking up watching. You know Ryan Long?
And yeah, yeah. Fuck yeah.
I went on and did with him. Like, because Ryan does it, dude. He's fucking hilarious. Like,
yeah,
everything's sick with this guy.
I see him at Governor's a lot in Levittown.
That episode was a riot, man. With you and Ryan in studio
and Dame Pesos. Studio.
Oh yeah, this Chilean shit poster called in with a bunch of stingers. He talks like they laugh like they, and he plays it up too. He made all these songs about how my buddy's gay and fat, and I can't do it. But yeah,
his accent is so fucking funny, and the thing is, the production, like, he must be talented at it.
Yeah,
the whole show looks largely based around just, I think it's, I don't even think he hates them, but these two guys he just kind of doesn't like.
I don't think it's pure hatred. You'll be like,
is this pure hatred? Because I had to ask him who the one guy in the top was. It's like so much production and artistry
into just calling these two guys fat and gay that I didn't even know who the guys were, and I was laughing at it.
That's a great commercial you just gave.
Yeah. Dame Pesos. I've seen him before, but he like knows him. All right, yeah. So I got to wrap up, dude. So Compound right. Media, what else?
That's pretty much it. Compoundmedia.com, all the information you need to find me.
Yeah, and the Dick Show and in that book.
Dick, I think it might be out of print. So if you go to buy it, it's probably like $40 on Amazon. Dick.show, patreon.com/thedickshow is my show.
Yeah, men are better than women. Not why men are better than women. He's telling you, bitch.
That's his follow-up book. You're not going to make it.
God damn, I love it.
All right, Kyle Dunnigan, show, blah, blah, blah. I'm Gomin Go Bananas in Cincinnati. Go to KurtMesterComedy.com. And sorry I was gone so long. I was on the road. And then next time I'd start doing it live and not in Zoom. But anyway, guys, thanks. Best fucking time I had in a while.
Thank you, Kurt. Bye. Take it easy. Because I can't get right. Because I can't get right. Yeah. You're listening to Can't Get Right.